Would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Meaning making is one of the most important ways that power is structured in the world. Power, meaning the ability to act and have an effect in the world. Now, there's all different sorts of power. I want to focus in on the power to influence people and how they think about the world. That is a deep kind of power. If it is not at the root of the matter of power, it is certainly near the bottom of the tree. What events mean? What does an event mean? What does a word mean? What does a book mean? What do sacred texts mean? The meaning of something is not intrinsic to that thing. It is placed upon that thing. It is laid over like a tablecloth so that the thing itself cannot be viewed except through that meaning. Its shape is visible, but not the underlying thing anymore. Clear as mud? Let's take an example, the Bible. Because of the structuring of power in the church in the hands of men, the notion that God is a man has been laid over the top of the Bible. That is meaning that is being made. It's not intrinsic to the thing itself. The notion that God is a man has been laid over the top of the Bible. And with that in place, passages in the Bible which present God in a masculine way, they become evidence for the truth of that assumption. Counter evidence, counter images, counter narratives, these then can be dismissed as not really the point. Meaning is made. And so meaning can also be unmade or remade, but that needs to be done by someone. There needs to be someone who upsets those meanings, who shows an illusion for what it is, the tablecloth, not the table. You know, the sort of like tablecloth, like pulling off trick where the vase is still standing, like that's what we're looking for here. Somebody who is able to remove the meaning laid over something to find the thing itself. For the Bible, for the meaning-making exercise of God as a man, the one that is deftly pulling off that tablecloth appears in greatest technicolor splendor in the strangest of places. In the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, we see how to remove this illusion of God being a man. It's an unusual place to find this because Proverbs, it's kind of just a collection of sayings. There were sort of aphorisms that don't really have anything to do with one another, one after the other, after the other, after the other. I find it a bit tiresome, honestly. They are aphorisms such as, a generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives water will get water. Better to meet a she-bear robbed of its cubs than to confront a fool immersed in folly. That kind of thing. Over and over and over and over and over for chapter after chapter. The book of Proverbs, it is practical wisdom about how to succeed in life. So what does this have to do with the structuring of power, with removing the tablecloth of God being a man? Well, the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. In general, it is about wisdom. And here I need to pause and do a bit of Hebrew. The Hebrew word for wisdom is chokhmah. Chokhmah. And when it's applied to a person, it means something like technical skill. But to adequately capture it, you need to combine the ideas of intelligence, logic, specialized knowledge, the whole of scientific endeavor, the art of influencing people. An auto mechanic has chokhmah about engines. A doctor has chokhmah about the human body. A poet has chokhmah about the crafting of words into a world in themselves. Wisdom. Wisdom in the Bible, it is understanding the laws that undergird how the world works and using that understanding to shape the world and control the unfolding of events. Wisdom is a powerful thing. Wisdom is understanding the laws that undergird how the world works and using that understanding to shape events. That is chokhmah, wisdom, in a general sense. But the book of Proverbs goes deeper and explains where this idea comes from, where wisdom comes from. Wisdom itself is a part of the fabric of the universe. Wisdom is a divine being. Wisdom is like a person who assisted God in the act of creation. The existence of wisdom, we read, wisdom precedes the creation of the world, and it is wisdom through whom and with whom and according to whose design God created the world. As George read earlier, does not wisdom call? And does not understanding raise her voice on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand? Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Then I was beside God like a master worker, rejoicing in the inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Wisdom's fingerprints, we see, are all over creation, in the mountains, in the hills, in the springs. Woven into the fabric of existence, more than woven in, actually, wisdom is the weaver of existence, who was present with God doing the weaving of the world, the choreographer of the dance of the stars and comets, the architect of the social order of bees. Wisdom is the judge whose ruling established that the laws of physics shall everywhere and eternally be the same. Wisdom is the one who made it so that iambic pentameter sounds epic, like horses galloping over the grass. Is this the face that launched 1,000 ships and burnt the topless towers of Ilium? Wisdom is the one who make anapestic pentameter sound like Dr. Seuss. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. Sounds like imaginary cats getting into all sorts of mischief. To be wise is to grasp these laws, the laws that wisdom has made, and to use that understanding to shape the world and shape human experience. That's what wisdom is, part of the universe itself. Oh, and one other thing. Wisdom is a woman. Without any anxiety at all, the book of Proverbs describes there being a divine worker, a master worker, beside God in creation, a divine woman, the feminine divine, at the first, before the beginning. Before the beginning, she was with God. It was she who sounded the deeps and sunk the foundations of the earth in immutable law. If I am to know God, then, the table, not the tablecloth. If I am to know God as God really is, then I must know God as she is presented in Proverbs. God, the divine feminine, Lady Wisdom in all her glory, she offers us gift upon gift upon gift, an understanding of how the world works. Using that understanding to shape the world, control the unfolding of events, wisdom. God, the divine feminine, Lady Wisdom in all her glory, offers humanity intelligence, logic, specialized knowledge, the whole of scientific endeavor, the art of influencing people. The auto mechanic with their wisdom about engines, the doctor with their wisdom about the human body, the poet who knows how to make palaces out of words. These are the gifts of God in all her glory. Wisdom cries out in the streets. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out, "Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. There I was beside God, like a master worker." As we celebrate today, Phyllis Wheatley, we celebrate a saint of the church who was filled with wisdom, filled with chokhmah, a poet, a wordsmith, a person who was able to see to the base of things and influence the world and its events. Wisdom. One who spun worlds out of bits of sound. whose beautiful craftwork has carried across centuries. A life dedicated to beauty. This is a Christian life. This is a godly life. This is a calling of baptism, needing no other justification. In Phyllis Wheatley's work, we see the divine power of wisdom at play. We see the hand of God moving in her hand, flowing through her quill, poetry. This is a gift of God, needing no other justification. But Phyllis Wheatley is more than just a fine poet. In the United States, Phyllis Wheatley was one of the earliest to pull the tablecloth of white supremacy off of this country's table, because she was a young black woman enslaved. When each one of those things would make her voice one that people would dismiss. She was young in a society that valued seniority. She was a woman in a society that valued men. She was black in a society that denied the basic humanity of black people. She was enslaved in a society that lied to itself about what the enslaved were capable of in order to soothe their consciences. All of that meaning that had been overlaid, all of that was an exercise in power. That's what those meanings were, deciding who would and would not have power. That's what the meaning making was about. Meaning is one of the most important ways that power is structured. Valuing whiteness and maleness, that's a tablecloth, not the table. Phyllis Wheatley upset those meanings and showed the illusion for what it was. And to do that, it is not easy. It is not easy. It takes chokmah, it takes wisdom, it takes the ability to see to those things that are truly real. Phyllis Wheatley had wisdom about poetry. And in her wisdom about poetry, like all wisdom, it worked because it touched the base of things, touched the truth of things. Because of the wisdom of God implanted in the servant of the Lord, Phyllis Wheatley, because of her wisdom, people were able to see, they were able to touch, they were able to hear the truth of things in a way they hadn't before. Thanks be to God for the servant of the Lord, Phyllis Wheatley. Amen.